To Hosea, the book of Hosea, and we're getting on through it. I tell you, the Lord's bringing us through. And I want to thank the Lord for the good day He gave us today. We had a family join and a Marine and all of our veterans here. I was thankful for all the veterans that we saw in our church and our service, and we just have a great host of veterans. And another man made public, he's going to get baptized this coming Sunday, so I'm very thankful for that. Hosea chapter 5, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, good job. Hear ye, verse 1, this, O priest, and hearken, ye house of Israel. That's the people of Israel, so it's to the priest and the people of Israel. And give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you. Now, when God says judgment's toward you, you better watch out, right? Because what God says, He doesn't chew His cabbage twice. I'm telling you, what He says, He means, and what He means, He says. And judgment is toward you because ye have been a snare. What He's saying here, you've been a trap. You've been a misleading, and you've hurt people on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. So they're committing idolatry, and then all of these whoredoms. They were giving their kids to Baal to be burned, and a Moloch, and all of that. It was just a horrible time, a sinful time. In verse 4, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel that testify to His face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again for the day that You've given, the peace and the unity in the trustees meeting, Lord, as far as the monthly meeting. Thank You for that. It's just a sweet time with the men. Thank You for the people that came forward today at the altar and just the full house. It was a great full house. And Lord, we want to pause and give You all the glory because except You build the house, Lord, we labor in vain that build it. Now I pray tonight that You give me grace and kindness, and Lord, but help me to speak the truth. It is my prayer. And Lord, I thank You for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I start, they need to get saved. They need to know the Lord. And friends, if you're not saved, you need to settle that tonight, right? And we always try to get the gospel in because that's the power of salvation, right? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you're not saved, you're missing out. And Jesus loves you. I mean, you hear it over and over again, but He really does love you. But God commendeth His love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. He took your place. He was your substitute. And if you trust Him as your Savior, when you die, you'll go to heaven. Or when the rapture happens, you'll immediately go to heaven. Amen. So don't put Him off. Get saved. Now, Gary, you can hear that, and you don't have to hold on with white knuckles. I remember preaching the gospel at Gary, and he was just so convicted, tears running down his face. But he wouldn't let go. But finally, the Holy Spirit of God convicted him. He came in and he said, Pastor, I'm ready to get saved. And so you don't have to worry about that anymore. And I do appreciate all the work our people do around here. And behind the scenes, they help out and they pray. Let me put a plug in before we get right into this. You sang the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and it is sweet, isn't it? We're having a 24-hour prayer meeting. Many of you have been to the one that we have here. We need to get a list out there, Miss Tiffany, immediately. It's going to be in the bulletin again. But what we ask you to do, this is, I just can't really relate it enough, but every time we've had one of these, we've had it three or four times, maybe more, people come out of this prayer meeting rejoicing. They come out weeping. It is just so much of a blessing. I can't emphasize it enough. When you spend an hour with the Lord, it changes your life, and it will help you. It will bring joy into your heart. And we have stations, is what we have, and you'll go to one, and it'll say, just begin to thank the Lord. Take some time and thank the Lord. Another one, ask the Lord to forgive you and get right with the Lord. Another one we have, just sing this hymn. We have it all laid out where if you go through the stations, you'll be about an hour. But this is special right here. Every single one of you have a really special prayer request. Maybe it's a loved one that needs to be saved or someone that's away from the Lord. You all have that. You don't have to get into detail and mention everything. But if you'll take about four prayer requests, you just don't have Pastor Hardesty and Miss Kathy praying. You have a host of people in the congregation praying. And the results of this is really, really big. But it's just a blessing, the 24-hour. You'll take 1 hour, fill up your slot. We'll need a couple of you young men or those who are packing. Just in the night, we always had Dakota, didn't we? He was always on the job, the military young man. And he'd stay out here in the car. So we keep the lights on everywhere and we try to make it as safe as possible. But we highly, highly encourage you to participate in that 24-hour prayer meeting. It'll be for you, your benefit, your request, and it's also for the missions conference. Because I'll tell you something, the devil hates a missions conference. Yep. But you know what? God loves a missions conference. And I'm so excited for what's going to happen. I'm already praying every time. And I probably want to announce every time we get an opportunity before the congregation, pray for the missions conference. And who knows? God may bless this church and call out a young woman or a young man or a couple to the mission field. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. So a lot of great things coming up. Kurt LeBeau's coming up. What a blessing. Every time Brother LeBeau has come, he's always been an encouragement. He's a blind evangelist that's well sought after. He's got a brand new CD out. And Miss Dale, his wife, said, put some happy songs on it. And so he said, there are some happy songs on it. He'll be here on that date in February. But he said, I'd be glad to come the Friday before, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or he can even stay the Sunday through Wednesday. So I tell you what, when he comes, we about sing him to death, don't we? But he's such a blessing. He's a great preacher too, and he's been around the block, I'll tell you that, because he travels every single year a whole lot. He's in Georgia, just a great conversation with him, and so that's coming up. All right, back in here. So God's judgment is upon this people. Why? Because of their sin. God loves people, but He hates sin. He loves sinners, but He hates their sin. He loves you, but He hates your sin. They are not helping God's people, but they're trapping them. They're trapping them. And then they have pride in their life. Miss Denise, they're not turning back to God. Speaking of Kurt LeBeau, I asked him, I said, Brother LeBeau, our nation is in such a mess right now. There's division. There's a lot of sin. Just watch the TV a little bit. You can't even keep it on the right channel. I mean, it's just horrible. It's wicked. I'll say it again. There's a lot of wickedness on television. A lot of evil. A lot of whoredoms on TV. And be careful, little eyes. What you see, I asked Brother Kurt, what do you think our nation needs the most right now? And he paused for the longest. And he was thinking. He said, Brother R.C., I think what our nation needs the most right now is to turn back to God. Amen. Turn back to God. But they're not turning back to God. They're going to the enemy. They're going to the Assyrians, as you'll see this. They're going to everyone, but who can help them? Only God can help. Amen. You know that song, God Bless America? We can't even really sing it or say it like that. We should never be in our pride, God bless America. No, we should say something like this, Lord, forgive us. And please bless America, okay? How arrogant we are. And God hates pride. God hates it. So that's the way they were. It says in verse 4, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim, what, church? What? Fall. In their iniquity, Judah also shall fall with them. When God says they're going to fall, they're going to fall. Hold your place here and go over to Joel. I saw this. Miss Denise was showing me a testimony, and this verse changed a young man's life right here. And I found it. It's in Joel chapter 2, just a little ways to the right, a couple pages or so. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. You mean I didn't go too fast? Okay. All right now. Verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, what? Turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and mourning, with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your what? And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. You know, God does want you to bring back. He wants to bring you back, but he wants you to turn. And that's a good old definition of repentance. That's the old time prophet's definition of repentance. It's more than, listen church, it's more than just a change of mind. It is that. But the old definition of the old men of God and the old churches, I mean way before any of us were born, was turn from our sin. The definition of the Bible, repentance. You turn to God. You make a 180, amen, and you turn back with no reservations. And so that's repentance. But they were not turning, and they were proud. Hold your place back in Hosea chapter 5, and let's go to Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs. Hope you're in your Proverbs. Amen. Every day. We're in it with you. So Proverbs chapter, let's see, why don't we go to 16:18. Proverbs 16:18. Let's read it out loud together. Proverbs 16:18. Ready? Let's read. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. And so definitely we'll be seeing about pride, something that God hates, here in a little bit. Let me see if I can give you another verse about pride. Proverbs 8:13, you don't have to turn there. Just listen. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So this is what they had. They had pride. And because of that, listen, the moths were going to eat them. I don't know about you. Being in Florida, I don't know what it is. We didn't have a lot of moths. I remember living in Missouri. It seemed like there were more moths in Missouri. Some of you old timers know about moth balls. And, you know, you go in some houses and they had that smell of mothballs. I kind of like it. I know it's weird, but I like the smell of mothballs. But what was the purpose of a mothball? To get rid of the moths, to protect your garments. Those moths will get in there and they'll eat holes. They'll eat holes in your garments. And so a lot of the old timers had mothballs. How many of you have mothballs in your closet? I'm just curious. Right now you have mothballs. There's one. Tiffany, you're it. Go, girl. Mothballs in your closet. But back in Hosea chapter 5, they were proud and they were sinning. And God's judgment is coming. Let's pick it back up with verse 6. They shall go with their flocks and their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. That's sad. He hath withdrawn himself from them. Why? Because they were proud, because they were living in sin of all kinds, and they wouldn't turn loose. And so they're going to get this judgment from God. And verse 7, they have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. And God knows all about it. He sees it. Isaiah talks about this. In verse 10, the princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment. We don't want to be in that place, church. Because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a what? As a moth. And to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian. This is the point I'd really like to nail down. When you're in trouble and when you've sinned against God, you know it, judgment's fallen, don't run to all the other ways to get out of it. Run to God. Run to the great physician. Don't turn to the psychos and the Dr. Phil's what do you call those, therapists? You don't need a therapist. You need Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who can help you. And so turn to him. This is what they were doing. They were turning to the wrong physician. And Judah saw his wound. And Ephraim went Ephraim to Assyrian, verse 13, and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. The only one that can cure your sin problem is none other than the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's it. He's the answer. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. Boy, when the lion of Judah gets after you, look out. I mean, a lion can tear you up. And there's a lot of mean critters out there, animals like a hyena and like a lion, like a badger, and some of these things that will eat you alive. But a lion, look out for that. The lion is ready to kill and ready to destroy. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. When that lion gets after you, verse 15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Verse 15. And seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Some of you know where I'm going. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We need to turn back to God. Turn to the great physician, verse 14. Verse 14. Verse 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If, it's conditional, isn't it? If my people, what does America need to do right here? What do we need to do? Which are called by my name. If you're saved, you're called by his name. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked way. That's what they needed to do up there, but they wouldn't. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But God, in this day and age, and I believe ours as well, I'll just read it to you. Hosea 5:4, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. If you just turn to the great physician, you know, he'll heal you. He'll help you. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I had a good visit with Hannah and Nathan, one of our servicemen that's been coming to the church. They're a sweet couple, Jeremy. And we talked, and I pray. I listed her mama on the prayer list. Miss Sandy has cancer, and she just found out. And we need to pray for Sandy. That's Hannah's mom. Because God is the only one that can help in those times, right? Ray Hessner, he's been coming, Brother Kingsmore's friend, and it was good to see him here today. He's going through cancer. So many are going through cancer. But you know what? God's bigger than cancer. I'm thankful for that, and He can heal. There's a woman in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and a certain woman, Mark 5, 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. How many of you have suffered many things of many physicians? You know, they say how to stay healthy, stay out of the doctor's office. I told Brother Jay this morning, if they look hard enough, they'll find something, won't they? They got all these tests and cameras and everything. They'll go down your throat. They'll do everything. Take pictures of you. My brother sent me a video. It's only about 20 seconds. He says, four things that'll kill you. Four things. He said, watch it, Greg, and call me back, and we'll talk about it. So I watched it, and then I gave it to my son and my daughter. I said, y'all watch it. Four things will kill you. Smoking will kill you. And then, alcohol will kill you. The third one is what he said. This will kill you. The doctors, the heart surgeon, the cardiologist is giving this video. The smoking will kill you. The alcohol will kill you. And then he said, soda pop will kill you. He said, it's liquid death. That's what the cardiologist said. He said, the last one, this is what the doctor said. Pastas, wheat, rice, all of that will kill you. I said, my goodness, we're all dead. There's no hope. You know, if all of that will kill you, some of you are going to the spaghetti farm tonight, okay? And you'll probably have a Coke. Larry's favorite saying when he sits down at a restaurant, the waiter says, what would you like to drink? I'll have a Coke. So before he even gets there, I just say, he'll have a Coke, you know. It's always that. Liquid death, he said, Larry. Liquid death. Larry says, I disagree. It cleans my pipes out. That's what he said. But back in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, in a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of the physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. If I can get this point down to you, turn to the great physician. Turn to the one, listen, the creator of the universe who knows you and who made you. Turn to Him. And I'm not against doctors. Like Jehovah's Witness, they won't get a transfusion for their kids. They let their kids die before they go get a transfusion. No, I'm not like that. I believe in doctors. I believe in nurses. But we still ought to seek God first. Amen. Seek God. And realize, you know, when I had that little bout with cancer and they did all those biopsies and everything, they finally came back months later and said, there is no cancer. You have no cancer. All your results are negative. And they 18 biopsies. And he says, he couldn't explain it. Well, I can explain it. Because there is a God in heaven who knows and cares, the great physician. And He can heal. And you know, He can heal Sandy from that, or give her many, many more years. So this woman went to the great physician. A lot of times the real problem is that they're really not saved, and they just need to trust Jesus. And then God will begin to make it known. God said, I will eat them up. They're just living in their sin. They're doing things that are against the Lord. And when God's judgment falls, He will eat you up. Instead, you're going to the wrong person for help. You're not turning to the Lord. So what are you supposed to do? Turn and get right. Hebrews 13, I want you to go there, please. Hebrews, James 13. Let's read this. Let's read verse 5 out loud together. I like reading the Bible out loud together. You know Revelation, we were in Sunday school today. He said, blessed are those who read and hear and do the Word of God, Revelation chapter 1. But in Hebrews 13, are you there? Verse 5? Read it out loud with me. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God's there for us. You don't want to be eat up by God and like a moth and leave you with holes in your life. You need to turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Now, God is able to help us, but we'll murmur sometimes and complain. And sometimes we're tempted to sow discord. To sow discord. Go with me to Proverbs. I'm almost done. I've got this just a little sheet here. Proverbs. See what God has to say about this. Chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 14. Well, I think I'll start in verse 12. Proverbs 6, verse 14. Now, we don't have time for this because God is being so good to us and blessing us and helping us, church. And you pray for me right now that I say what I'm getting ready to say in love. Will you pray for me? In verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. That's a wicked mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Proverbs 6, verse 14. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. What is discord? It's when you stir the pot, stir up strife. You're living strife. We won't take the time, but you should really write this verse, this passage down in James chapter 3. He talks about how when things are peaceable and pure and there's unity there, it's from above. But he says all of this strife, evil, confusion in James chapter 3 is not from above. It's from hell. And there is an enemy out there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this wicked world. But Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, he's already said discord. He mentioned discord in verse 14. Frowardness is in his heart. When a person sows discord, their heart's not right. Can I tell you this? When somebody's on the back road during the invitation, is on their cell phone, they've got a deep spiritual problem.
Amen.
When we're trying to invite people to get saved, and there's a battle between evil and righteousness, and people are on the brink of hell, being kicked into hell or trusting God and getting it settled about their heavenly home. And when you're on the back row with a cell phone in your hand, not listening, not praying, you've got a spiritual problem, friend. And you're sowing discord. You're sowing strife. Some of that pastor has to put up with while I'm preaching. The majority are in it. And they're with us. And they're helping us preach. And they're helping us pray. And they're helping praying for lost sinners like Gary here. And others like Joshua And friends, when you get to heaven, I think you'll be surprised because you had a part in their salvation too. If we ever need to be in unity at a time in this church, it's when the invitation is given. I'll say amen right there. Read on down here. There's six things the Lord hates. Verse 16. And when he says he hates it, it's abomination to him. When you read that, I think you just skim over it a lot of times. Maybe I do too. But when God hates something, it's bad. Think about when you hate something. You just hate it. Well, God, the Creator, the Omnipotent One, the Omniscient One, the Omnipresent One, He says in Scripture, there's six things the Lord doth hate, yea, seven are abomination to Him. Number one, verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. And boy, the devil's working overtime on that, isn't he? You're laying in the bed, you're just waking up, and this is going to be a great day, and all these wicked thoughts enter your mind. I know what happens to you because it happens to me. And you start having a little fear until you recognize the enemy's attack and say, Lord, you've not given me the spirit of fear. That's not coming from you, Lord. Who's it coming from? He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. He wants us to have faith. And then you find a little later, yeah, that was a lie of the devil. A heart that deviseth, verse 18, wicked imaginations, feet that be shed and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, verse 19. And he that what, church? He that soweth discord. What is it? You're stirring up strife. Go to Romans chapter 16. It's hard enough to fight the enemy. You don't need to fight your friends, amen? Your loved ones, those in church. You think God wants our church to be unified? Come on. He does, right? My wife and I said, hey, we started this church. The Lord helped us to start this church from scratch. Gave over 29 years and 6 months. Well, we got more than that now because we've been here a few months. By the way, we're here to stay. Trustees voted us in, but God called us. Amen. We're here. You think we're not going to just stand by and let the devil try to destroy what we've gave our blood and work and our love for all those years? No, we're not going to let the devil do that if we can keep from it. God hates discord. Romans 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Sometimes pastors need to warn the flock. There are wolves. Can I get a witness? Amen. In sheep's clothing. Sometimes there's female wolves. If you throw a rock into a pack of wolves, the one that gets hit yelps. Sometimes they go behind your back and stab you in the back. And a lot of times what they're saying is a pack of lies. And God hates it. What do? God gave us an avenue in Matthew chapter 18. You go to that person, right? You go to that person. You tell them what they did in love and say you need to repent or get right. Then you bring a witness with you, right? And if they don't repent and turn and get right, Matthew tells us, Jesus tells us, tell it to the church. And friends, you're on dangerous ground when you call out a person that's so discord and they're not turning, the moths are coming. And God's judgment is coming. You can write that down. When you're stirring up the strife, because Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And he's going to deal with that person. And I don't want to get too close to him because God can strike a lightning bolt. Amen. Tell it to the church. Now, if they repent, God will be quick to forgive them. Just like we said over there, showed you in the book of Joel. He's faithful, he's compassionate, and he's loving, kind, and tender, and merciful. But sowing discord among the brethren is something that God truly hates. We don't need to be any part of it. When people start sowing discord about your church, you need to say, hold up, time out, stop. Like David offered, calm down. Stop it. Stop it. We were joking yesterday because Gary came out to fix the front door. And he said, you have something big that I can hit that the inside hinge with. Do you have anything? I said, well, I got a sledgehammer. So I went out and I was getting ready to bring it to Gary, who was working on the front door. I had this big, huge sledgehammer. And Brian went and got even a bigger sledgehammer. And I just stopped by the office here. I got detoured, and I stopped by David's office, and I had that sledgehammer, and he said, calm down, Pastor. Calm down. It's okay. I was just trying to help fix the door, okay? We're having a missions conference coming up January 7th through the 11th. Oh, thank heavens for 7-11. And our goal is to raise the support of our missionaries from 80 a month to 100 a month. We said that in the meeting. All the trustees are in. They're all in. Are you all in?
Amen.
Are you all in? Well, I tell you what, the devil's mad about it. He don't want to give up ground. Once he takes ground, he don't want to let it go. But I tell you for this, I look every one of you in your God-given eyeball and say this, God is all about missions. And God hates discord. He won't put up with it. He'll judge you. And you don't want to be on that other end, folks. If your heart's not with us, if your heart's not with the Lord, you've got a spiritual problem. I didn't ask to come back and be a pastor here. I never asked you, church. I was asked. I had several men come up, are you willing? Are you ready? And they voted me in unanimous. I had no part of that other stuff that went on. God brought me back. He brought me back for a reason. We don't know all the reasons, but I'm here. It's like Hannah and Nathan, the military couple I met with yesterday. This is what they told me, and I'm done. They said, Pastor, I believe you have many more years in you, good years. And that's what they said. Many more years. I hope so. Till the Lord comes. But if you're guilty tonight, you need to turn. You need to turn back to God, or you'll be in a bad place. Turn to the great physician. Let's stand.